Welcome back to Will I Ever Learn Chinese? I'm Jeanette Seikel. In this episode, I'm looking at the question of age, but also background and talent. Do these influence our language learning? When I was a teenager, I had a friend who was greatly interested in Chinese culture. He even volunteered at a Chinese corner shop for the occasional freebies, and he learned to cook Chinese food, sharing his knowledge enthusiastically with anyone who would listen. He started to learn some Chinese too, although I'm not sure he ever progressed very far. I gave him a Teach Yourself Chinese book as a birthday present one year, and remember the first page reading, Ni hao, hello, and ni men hao, hello, that was apparently used for greeting more than one person. I imagined that men must mean something like plural or several. Back then, this was all very exotic. I liked the food, I thought the writing system was fascinating, and the language sounded really interesting. But I was otherwise occupied. I was learning Swedish and Finnish, and while this was my first encounter, Chinese still had to wait another 35 years or so to come back into my life. So, waiting such a long time to pick up Chinese, you might legitimately ask if I hadn't left it too late. Would someone at 49 years old even be able to learn another language? Haven't we all heard that learning a language in childhood is relatively easy, but the older you get, the harder it will be? Is there a point, really, to learning another language after the age of 30 at all? Well, to be honest, this thought had not really crossed my mind when I started learning Chinese. However, it was one of the issues raised by others as I was telling them about my new language. So, what is it that leads people to think this way? I was wondering actually what would have happened if I had been a different person, someone who's not a linguist, but just wanted to learn another language, and then sharing the great news with friends and acquaintances. Would I have been put off by the repeated claim that learning a language later in life was futile? Perhaps this is just one of the reasons why so few people pick up a new language as they get older. Well, when we look at the argument that learning a language later in life is futile, we must first understand what we mean by later in life. Let's start with very young children. It is true that young children seem to pick up a new language without any overt instruction or effort. There are, of course, also examples of people later in life learning new languages. But what's the difference? Well, let's do a thought experiment. Imagine a child from England, adopted by a Mandarin-speaking family in China at the age of 2. The child is healthy and is developing normally, and they will become fluent in Chinese eventually, seemingly without much effort. Compare that to an adult at, say, 32 years old, moving from the UK to China. They are highly motivated to learn Chinese, and let's assume they live with the same family and are exposed to Chinese on a daily basis, just like the child was. Yet, after years, they may still have an English accent, and they may struggle with understanding or speaking Chinese. It is, of course, absolutely possible that they have developed a native-like Chinese proficiency. We don't know, but let's take our thought experiment further and imagine there were 100 such children and adults, all moving to China to live with similar families. All 100 children acquire Chinese to a native level, yet only some of the 100 adults will reach native-like proficiency. Most would likely learn to speak Chinese to some degree, possibly even fluently, but in most cases they would be recognizable as a foreigner, someone whose first language is not Chinese. How can that be? Why are small children so much better at learning a language than adults? You would expect linguists to have ready and easy answers to this question, but that is not necessarily the case. There are different and sometimes competing, sometimes overlapping theories on the acquisition of language, and they're all presenting intriguing data supporting their particular views. Some researchers argue that all human brains are predetermined to learn a first language, and they're equipped with a mechanism specifically present to do so. This ability stops working after a so-called critical period, when the language acquisition device is no longer available, or at least no longer available in the same way as it was for the very young child. Proponents of this approach say that this explains why children learn language seemingly effortlessly as opposed to adults. Other first language acquisition researchers argue that children's intriguing ability to learn a language does not have to depend on a specific language learning device in our brains, but rather language develops as it is used in context, while speakers make sense of their surroundings and negotiate the complex world around them. Language is thus part of a larger system, and it is embedded in interaction and socialization. These different approaches are not necessarily excluding the other, and some researchers have bridged the gap between the different viewpoints, looking at what can be learned from both. What most researchers can agree on, however, is that the context in which children are learning a language is different from that of adults. First of all, children's brains are still developing, while adult brains would, under normal circumstances at least, already have acquired a language. Furthermore, the situation in which the developing languages are used are vastly different between first and second language learners. For example, when a 13-month-old produces a tentative baba, their family will likely be delighted. Parents will smile happily and encourage the child to speak more. The parents may even adjust their own language to reflect the way the child is speaking, though this is different across cultures and does, in itself, not have an impact on whether the child learns the language. So, what about the English adult who moved to China at 32 years old? Imagine that, after 13 months of living with their hosts, they're finally ready to utter the word baba. What reaction would this provoke? The host family would likely not react in the same way as with the young child, namely delight and encouragement or support, but rather, hosts may be puzzled as to why they haven't spoken during the previous 13 months. And furthermore, they would not necessarily encourage their guest to repeat the seemingly nonsensical utterance. The guest would be expected to behave and adjust their language to the situation, so the word baba would likely be inappropriate in this situation. Well, unless they were speaking to a small child, in which case they may get away with it. Thus, in terms of the social expectations placed on them by others in their surroundings, the adult learner's language use will be very different from that of children. What will help, as well as hinder them, is that they already have a language system that they can build on. Once the brain has developed and a person has established a first language, learning a second language can proceed differently, as there is an existing system to rely on. This means that second language learners will be able to take shortcuts in the new language. They can learn elaborate sentences without going through the bubbling stages that small children experience when acquiring their first language. The flip side of the coin is that second language learners are prone to, well, consciously or subconsciously, rely on their first language, so much so that the results are less native-like. For example, they may have a foreign accent, or they may have seemingly odd sentence structures. These differences are sometimes, but not always, due to the linguistic differences between the first and the second language. But sometimes subtle differences and not the big differences are the ones that are much more difficult to pick up and get right. We have explored how young children learn languages very differently from adults, but is there variation between adults of various ages? Would someone in their early 20s learn languages differently from someone in their 50s? Well, historically, age would sometimes be listed as a factor contributing to language learning success, but modern theories of second language acquisition largely do not seem to think so. There's evidence from a wide range of studies that shows that there does not seem to be a big difference between someone aged 20 and someone aged 50 embarking on a new language. Yet, there is this commonly held belief that, as we age, we lose our mental capabilities, which will make learning anything new, let alone a new language, particularly difficult. Well, sure, aging changes the way our brains may or may not be able to retrieve information. But unless there are pathological reasons, such as memory loss due to dementia and so on, there shouldn't really be any problem learning new information. Of course, both older and younger learners may encounter a range of different factors that could influence their learning success and thus indirectly affect the learning with respect to their age. One such factor might be the need to fit in. This is, of course, highly individual and is not necessarily age-dependent, but based on my own experience, there seems to be a link. Imagine a young and an old learner, both moving to a new country and adjusting to the language spoken in their new environment. A younger person may not yet have a strong sense of self and accomplishment, and may feel that, in order to fit in, they would need to learn the host language to a pretty high level. The older, more accomplished person may be happy with who they are, and they may have some seniority in some other way. So, they may not feel the need to learn the language fluently to function in the new environment or to gain status in society. The factors that determine the individual's language learning process and success are many, and there are differences between all of us. Even though many learners do not learn their second language to a high level, it does not mean that they couldn't, given the right circumstances. I experienced the intrinsic need to fit in when I moved to Denmark in my early 20s. I put a lot of energy into learning Danish and achieving a native-like Danish accent. As my Danish was gradually improving, I eventually found local friends and then soon had a Danish partner as well. And this really helped because it meant I was speaking the language all day long and in all sorts of settings. And today, when I'm asked how to best learn a language, I sometimes jokingly say, well, find a boyfriend or girlfriend who speaks that language and who is speaking the language with you daily. Well, this may be an option for younger people and not necessarily for older people. Older people may be more settled and less inclined to find a partner who speaks the language that they're learning. But then again, we are all different, so there will be differences at the individual level, of course. While fitting into Danish society with my native-like accent was incredibly important to me when I was in my early 20s, I relaxed much more as I was getting older. So when I moved to Britain in my early 30s, I felt quite happy with who I was and what I had achieved, and also what my accent was representing. Having an English-speaking partner and speaking English on a daily basis, my proficiency soon became very good, but I still retained a slight German accent, which I actually valued as part of my individuality. Another factor affecting language learning success is aptitude, such as having a good memory or being able to imitate sounds. Some people just seem to be better at learning certain aspects of language than others. However, aptitude may only help you so far. My grade 6 English teacher told my parents in no uncertain terms that I would likely never have anything to do with languages in the future. I was simply not linguistically gifted, she said. What she mistook for a lack of aptitude was mostly my lack of motivation, mainly due to the pedagogical approaches at school at the time. But I'm still not particularly good at imitating sounds, unless I have been learning a language for quite a while. We know that some speakers are better at imitating or remembering than others. And I'm good at logic and finding links between structures. This has undoubtedly helped me learn languages in the past, and it could be described as a kind of aptitude. But aptitude, again, is not all, and there are other factors that play a role in language learning. And another such factor is the setting in which the learning takes place. Just as in my example of learning English at school, I found the setting boring. We were not learning any information relevant to me, and I got tired of endless gap-filling exercises and repetition of pointless phrases in the phonetics lab. I really could not see the reason for why I was learning English. Had I been in a situation where I had had the need to communicate daily in English, I'm pretty sure that I would have had a different motivation and thus would have approached learning with much more enthusiasm. And indeed, just a few years later, I found this motivation in popular culture, much of which was in English. So suddenly I could see a point in learning the language, and I started to engage with English in a whole new way, using songs and interviews of the bands I like to guide me along. The attitude towards a second language is indeed extremely important. If the second language is that of an assumed colonizer or oppressor, for example, the learner may not really be willing or interested in learning the language. For example, I have a fair few friends who grew up in East Germany and they had to learn Russian at school. Following the reunification of Germany, some reported that they had very negative attitudes towards Russian. They never learned it and they weren't interested in Russia. Growing up in West Germany, I did not have any such negative attitudes towards Russian or even English. Attitudes are really interesting, as there's often a delicate balance. Larger languages may be seen as those of oppressors, but they can at the same time be seen as languages that are really useful. For example, many speakers of indigenous languages in South America want their children to use Spanish or Portuguese as the large languages that will eventually give them a job. They will contribute to their children's success in life. The indigenous languages, on the other hand, may be viewed by their speakers as localized and less important. The thing is, if you have positive attitudes towards a language, you are much more likely to be motivated to learn that language. I was highly motivated to learn Chinese, simply because I was enjoying the learning process. Getting older, I had found ways to maintain my motivation and to ensure that I was not pressuring myself, but instead was using the language in ways that appealed to me, such as through listening to Chinese music and watching Chinese films. Motivation to learn a language can be very different. And, for example, immigrants who are trying to adjust to their new surroundings will have a very different setting. I realized that I'm a privileged second language learner. I decided to learn Chinese for fun in England, so my motivation for learning the language will be very different from that of an immigrant arriving in China in the hope of a better life. While I could pick and choose my learning methods, my pace, my focus, the immigrant would have to function in the new surroundings in a different way. They may encounter negative attitudes towards their own background and language, as well as their progress learning that language. While there is often a commonly held belief across the world that immigrants should just fit in, which in many cases obviously means assimilate as much as possible, us privileged second language learners would not really face these issues. We're often viewed very differently. It may be seen as commendable that someone in Britain is learning Chinese. So the setting, the power dynamics, and the attitudes that surround the language learning also play a big role and have to be taken into account. Related to this, the specific setting in which you're learning a language can also influence your overall learning success. This could be, for example, your access to learning materials or speakers. Beautifully presented books or videos with subtitles can be of great help when learning to read. Having access to speakers will be important when developing spoken fluency. Your language learning success may also be dependent on your individual learning preferences, but it is worth considering that in order to do well at learning a language, you will likely need to use a range of these learning methods. And it's just that some will appeal to you more than others. All these factors and all of these individual features will lead to different outcomes and enjoyment, or not, for the individual. And admittedly, no learner will be the same as another. We are all individuals, and our learning preferences will inevitably be different from one another. Understanding the underlying factors, though, our language learning success can be steered to maintaining motivation and adjusting to the learning environment. This is really important and really underpins successful language learning. So while age may play a role, because at different times in life, learners may have different motivations, different settings, and different underlying factors that can influence the learning journey, it's not age as such, but rather the various factors playing in the background. Whenever I was confronted with the argument that my age may be a problem, I shared numerous counterexamples of people learning languages successfully later in life. The internet here is obviously a wonderful tool because it connects learners from across the globe, so I could readily and easily supply many examples. I was also showing my peers that language learning later in life is actually possible through setting my own example. For me, age actually seemed to be an advantage when learning Chinese. When I was younger, I'd approach language learning as an interest, but there was so much about the process itself that I did not know, and I did not really have access to it either. Now that I'm older, I have the great advantage of all the previous language learning experience and also of understanding how motivation is underlying all of it, driving me to succeed. I know that there are different ways of learning different aspects of a language, such as reading, listening, speaking, and writing. And I know how to incorporate these different aspects into my own learning while continuing to be motivated to learn. When I was younger, I did not have this knowledge and subsequently did not do very well at learning some languages, while perhaps accidentally succeeding in learning others. As an older learner, I could relax and approach a new language without any outside pressure, being kind to myself and not expecting too much too soon. Being older and having a job also meant I was able to pay for Chinese conversation teachers and access learning materials that may have been out of bounds for me when I was younger. Thus, age may positively influence your learning. You may have more time, money, access to materials, as well as a better understanding of your own learning needs, and they all contribute towards the overall learning success. Talent, while undoubtedly a factor, may not be as straightforward as people think. So, even if you have been told that you have no talent for learning languages, a different learning setting may prove otherwise. This is what I argue.